You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Baldy's Breakdowns, the podcast, a Radio.com sports original.
Welcome to the latest edition of Baldy's Breakdowns here on Radio.com. We appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, I am Jason Locke and Fora, alongside my main man, Brian Baldinger. You can check out Baldy on Twitter at BaldyNFL. You can check me out at Jason Locke and Fora. And you can check us out right here every Wednesday where we drop a new pod for you guys, going over all the big happenings in the NFL. Please rate, review, check us out on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And Baldy, happy Wednesday, buddy. Yeah. It's good to be back with you. A little bit different terrain for the NFL this week than where we were a couple of weeks ago. We just hope that the league and these teams can mitigate the COVID as best as possible, and you know, keep finding ways to play games while it's feasible.
Well, you know, we got to the quarter pole, and you know, a quarter in the books here, and so teams have really begun to separate themselves. And even a team, say like the Eagles at 1-2-1, I mean, heck, they're in first place in the NFC East. Teams that got their win last week, the Minnesota Vikings, like they all feel like they're back in the race. But, you know, the biggest opponent perhaps this whole season is going to be COVID-19.
Yeah.
And we all have to pay attention to it because it's not going away. And we just got to hope that it doesn't spread far enough, fast enough, and deep enough that it really starts – changing the schedule and knocking games out, because then it's really going to be difficult to figure out how this thing is supposed to work.
Well, Baldy, I'm right there with you, man. And we all have our fingers crossed in that regard. Well, let's start off with some single coverage where we're going to highlight and break down the performance of some individuals for better or for worse from the weekend. Baldy, a guy who I think we all saw flash yet again in a big moment and was a huge signing for the Green Bay Packers a year ago. Za'Darius Smith coming off the edge, disrupting the quarterback. Special player, seems to be a great fit there with Mike Patton. Yep. And somebody I'm sure they'll be counting on in January as well.
Well, I did his position coach, outside linebacker, is Mike Smith. So they got Mike Smith coaching Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. He's a great coach. He was at Texas Tech. I've known him a long time. But, you know, I did a film session with Za'Darius at the Pro Bowl this year, and he has just a great attitude. I mean, he's just a wrecking machine. He can line up anywhere on the defensive front, over the guards, over the tackles, over the center, anywhere. And he has the ability to beat you. And I said at the end of the film session, and sitting down talking to him, and then talking to his coach, Mike Smith, that he'll lead the NFL in sacks one day, whether it's this year where he's tied with Myles Garrett right now, or next year. He just has the mindset and the ability to do it. And he was dominant, against Atlanta on Monday night, and it showed up. And it's not just his ability to rush the passer and get to the quarterback, but it's all phases of the game. He just brings a ton of energy to the field, and he's a fun guy to be around. He can't get the smile off his face. He wasn't a highly recruited kid. He went to Kentucky. He was really a basketball player growing up. He's an athlete, and he just has a tremendous work ethic, and he wants to be good, and it shows. And he had his breakout game on Monday night against the Falcons.
Well, Baldy, team made a huge acquisition this past year. Za'Darius, obviously, 2019 and 2020, I thought the biggest trade for any individual defensive player was DeForest Buckner going from the 49ers to the Colts, and they drafted his replacement in Kinlaw, and he's younger and he's cheaper. I don't think he's as good yet, and Buckner gets $20 million a year. He's been anchoring what I think we could call the new no-name defense in Indianapolis. They're number one in the league. I think a lot of people don't even realize that. They don't have a lot of household names on that unit, but, man, Matt Eberflus has them playing some really good ball.
He's got a lot of new pieces. DeForest is the guy that they wanted. Chris Ballard is really got a good eye on how to build a team. And so you got Justin Houston outside. You got DeForest Buckner inside right now. Danico Autry is a good pass rusher. They've got other pieces. But what DeForest Buckner did to the Bears offense the other day, first of all, they couldn't run the ball at all. They tried to take some pressure off of Nick Foles. But, you know, DeForest Buckner gives them a presence inside that they simply haven't had. And then if you go, okay, Xavier Rhodes, I don't know what it cost him, Jason, but he's been a good signing. He's been a real solid fixture at the right corner position. It looks like the Xavier Rhodes that went to a couple Pro Bowls in a row. And then in the back end, they lost Malik Hooker against the Vikings a couple weeks ago, and they replaced him with a third-round rookie out of Utah, Julian Blackman.
Yes.
And I don't know if Malik Hooker is going to get his job back. I mean, literally from the first play that he went in there, he's that enforcer, the way he hits from the safety position that you love. But then to get a forced fumble the other day, to get his first NFL interception against the Bears, I mean, he gets a game ball from me. And I don't know. I mean, people that are now watching the Colts, they're going to pay attention to him. He's got a big game. We'll talk about it, you know, this weekend against the Browns. Both have won three in a row. But you're going to pay attention to those three players for the Colts defense for sure.
Well, Baldy, you mentioned the Vikings in our open getting off the mat, and at least they get to the quarter pole with a win under their belt, which is more than we could say for the Texans. And the Vikings ended up being the last team that Bill O'Brien would face as the Texans GM and head coach, with him let go this week. A big part of the Vikings sort of renaissance here, or turnaround, if you will. And they gave the Titans a game the week before, is Dalvin Cook. He put the ball in his hand 49 times the last two games. He's up over 300 yards rushing in that span. Three TDs on the ground. We're seeing some more of those explosive long runs. He obviously is going to be somebody who I think they probably have to run their offense through right now.
Well, they are, and he was all of that on Sunday. He's just he's a special player. He's got tremendous foot quickness, vision. He's got freight train power when he hits people. And then he is a ferocious pickup blocker in the passing game. And he's a great receiver. I mean, he's just a total running back right now. And that draft that had McCaffrey and him and Fournette and Kamara, I mean, it's an unbelievable draft. But I thought, after looking at everybody that draft, Dalvin, I kept coming back to Dalvin. And, you know, he had some things in his past, whatever, that teams, you know, when he was very young, growing up in Miami. But, man, he loves the game of football. And you put him in Gary Kubiak's system of zone stretch and all that.
Yeah.
You add Justin Jefferson, who is, you know, a wide receiving class that we're all seeing looks pretty special right now. This offense, if Kirk Cousins can – just play quarterback without really turning it over. There's going to be times he's got to make third down throws without play action. He's got to make the threat. If he could do that, the Vikings will be back in this. Because the one thing I know about Zimmer is he's going to coach these young guys up on defense, and he's going to get in their face. And, you know, whether it's Jeff Gladney, I mean, pick a guy on the defensive side. He's playing these young guys. And coaches like Pete Carroll and Mike Zimmer that play young guys early, they make mistakes early, but they make plays late. And if the Vikings offense can keep coming the way it is these last 2 weeks, the Vikings will get back in the race. They'll get back, because these young guys, they'll grow up, they'll get coached up, and, you know, they'll start turning things around for them. That was an important win for the Vikings. It was a tough win. Like you said, a week before against the Texans, they had them. This was important. They got it, and they needed this.
All right, Baldy. Well, that was our single coverage segment. Now we're going to transition to our scouting report, where we're going to take a little bit more of a macro look at certain individual teams and coaches. We're going to start with the Eagles defense, which took their lumps for the first 3 weeks of the season and obviously had some issues over there. But that defensive front looks pretty looks like a bunch of you-know-what kickers right now. They finally get their first win, just terrorizing the 49ers offensive line. The week before that, I think they hit poor Joe Burrow 18 times. You know, it ended up being a tie. Not ideal, but Fletcher Cox and those guys seem to have their groove going.
They, you know, Jim Schwartz knows how to kind of rotate. He's got eight guys right now, and they all played well. Everyone, Hassan Ridgeway, Josh Sweat, Jannard Avery had five quarterback hits and a sack. They forced the turnovers. They chased Nick Mullins out of the game. They hit the quarterbacks in combination, Mullins and Beathard, 13 times. They lead the league in sacks right now. You can say, well, you know, it's a stat that, well, the stat means a lot when you hit the quarterback 33 times and they're giving the ball to you the way that they did. And they're forcing bad throws and they single-handedly, because the Philadelphia Eagles offense still is not very good. Carson Wentz really wasn't very good. Made one big throw to Travis Fulgham for a touchdown. That was the difference in the game. But this defensive front got 17 sacks in four games. Do the math, you know, and see how that tallies up. It's impressive. Now, they go to Pittsburgh this weekend, who has 15 sacks in three games. But I think these two defensive fronts are the two best in football right now. And so these two fronts are going to really help decide this game. You talk to Mike Tomlin this week. Mike Tomlin is looking at that defensive line of the Eagles. I'm sure that Ben Roethlisberger is looking at it. I'm sure that they're looking at a game plan to get the ball out of his hands quickly. And the good thing is for the Eagles, Jason, is they're doing this without blitzing.
Right.
The Steelers will blitz just because they can really hold up on the back end. The Eagles still aren't sure if they can do that or not. So they're not sending extra players. They're getting these 33 hits that you mentioned and 13 sacks in the last 2 weeks. They're doing it with just a four-man rush by and large. And so that's going to be – it's going to be trench warfare at Heinz Field in front of some fans on Sunday afternoon.
Well, and you mentioned the Eagles secondary. I still have concerns about that unit. But then I look at Dallas, and I mean, I know Alden Smith's going to get his like Alden Smith's going to get his sacks and this or that. But Maron, that's a tough watch, Baldy. I mean, you came in thinking, okay, they're beat up at linebacker, and we know the secondary isn't great, but maybe they'll man up and bow up and stop the run. And Nick Chubb's out of the game early, and Cleveland still goes for 307 on the ground.
Yeah, 307 on 40 runs. And I went back and watched it again today, Jason. They had 10 runs that went for 10 yards or more. In fact, those 10 runs tallied 191 yards. So it's 19 yards a run. That included Odell Beckham's 50-yard, you know, reverse at the end. Once the Cowboys did what they do, they cut the lead to 41-38 with 3.5 minutes to go. And if you just watch that single play and you watch the effort and you watch the tackling, that's all you need to know about that defense. The effort just simply isn't there. And so that's a problem. And then the tackling is a real issue. Because, you know, this isn't Oklahoma against Lamar, you know, with Barry Switzer coaching wishbone.
Right.
This is the NFL. You don't run for 307 yards in the NFL. But they did it with four different backs. You mentioned Nick Chubb went out. This wasn't Nick Chubb going and trying to win the rushing title in week four.
Right.
This was, you know, D'Ernest Johnson. And, like, it was a collection of guys, Hilliard, guys that you'd never even heard of before. So it was really hard to watch. The tackling is atrocious. Getting off blocks is really difficult to watch. You know, everybody's pinning it right now on – you know, Mike Nolan and his scheme and all this. Look, Don Terry Poe just doesn't look like he could play anymore.
Right.
Tristan Hill looks like a second-round pick that isn't worthy of a second-round pick. But you go across the board, you can watch – you watch guys just you
well,
know.
Well, they tried it with McCoy, right? Remember, they signed McCoy. He lasted like 2 weeks.
Yeah. You know, they try to patch it up. And it doesn't matter. I mean, they're 3-4, 4-3. They're really struggling. DeMarcus Lawrence, they gave him a big fat contract last year before the season started. Yeah. He hasn't made any plays. Jalen Smith, I don't know what's wrong. He doesn't look like he's got the explosive step that he had the last 2 years. I don't know if the foot's bothering him or anything else is, but he doesn't look like the same guy. So there is talent issue right there. But, you know, I always look at stopping the run first. And if you can't do that, then Kevin Stefanski is just going to keep pounding it at you, which he did. And so it's a mess. It's a real mess right now.
Well, at the other end of the effort spectrum, Baldy, Matt Rhule and the 2-2 Carolina Football Panthers, you know firsthand what he does, the sort of energy he brings to a building, the standards that he sets, and sort of the quick baseline foundation that's put in place, whether, you know, it's Temple or Baylor, or now we're seeing it in Carolina. I know a lot of people were ready to kind of give up on them at 0-2, and Christian McCaffrey's hurt and they can't stop anybody on defense. And I'm not saying that they're a juggernaut, but that was a nice little win for them. And all of a sudden it's the Cardinals who were sitting there asking questions of themselves after looking like world beaters for 2 weeks and then losing two in a row. I just, you know, Matt Rhule, he's got it, right?
He does have it. And, you know, shame on the teams that passed on him because they're all struggling. But he's a coach. He's got Phil Snow running his defense. He's great. He's got, you know, Joe Brady running the offense. He's great. And then he's just looking at all the little things that win football games, field position, penalties. I texted him after the game, congratulated him on the win. He's like, too many damn penalties. You know, I mean, like nobody should be satisfied 4 weeks in. But, you know, when you watch him play, first of all, he knows how to defend a Big 12 offense. And that's what the Arizona Cardinals are. So yeah. It's like, you know, it's like him at Baylor going up against Oklahoma, to be honest with you. And he just, you know, you'll give DeAndre Hopkins his catches. He's not going to get over the top on him. They were the 32nd ranked defense in football a year ago, and they were horrible in almost every category. And they're the 19th ranked defense with almost the same guys. Derek Brown is there. There are a couple additions that helps. But they're the same group. Offensively, Teddy Bridgewater simply doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I've watched Robbie Anderson in his league. Robbie played for Matt at Temple. And he was a speed guy, you know, kind of a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
But he's the number one wide receiver in his offense. Like, he can run every route. The offense goes through him in the passing game. They put him in positions to go win. They call plays for him. And all he's doing is delivering right now. And he's having a fine season. But, yeah, they're doing this without McCaffrey because – if you can win the line of scrimmage, in theory, it doesn't matter who's carrying the football. Like, you're winning the line of scrimmage. There's holes. There's places that you got to go, you know. And so, Bonifant, it doesn't really matter right now, like, who's carrying the football. They're getting the job done on the ground, and they've got a good formula. And so, they're going to win football games this year because they don't beat themselves. And most teams in this league, when they lose, they just have to look in the stat column and look what they did to hurt themselves. And they don't play like that.
I'm totally with you, Baldy. Week 5 is almost upon us. A handful of games we want to get your thoughts on here a little bit to set the stage for the weekend. And look, I don't think we need to waste any breath on last Thursday night's game. But I am intrigued by this Thursday night. You've got Tampa Bay at 3-1. All Tom Brady did his last 6 possessions against what at times looks like a really good Chargers defense. Last week was Baldy touchdown pass, touchdown pass, touchdown pass, touchdown pass, touchdown pass victory formation. They're going against Chicago, who I feel like got exposed a little bit by the Indianapolis Colts. And I think Chicago at 3-1 is going to have a hell of a time replicating winning 3 out of every 4 the rest of the way. I think that will go down as their best quarter of the season by far. Bucks, Bears, what are your thoughts, Baldy?
Well, Tom Brady had his best game statistically. I mean, 5 touchdown passes. He hadn't done that since week 3 of 2017 against the Houston Texans. Went back and looked it up. So it's been a long drought, you know, for him to have that kind of a day.
Yeah.
He certainly has growing chemistry with Mike Evans. I mean, Mike Evans might end up leading the league in touchdown catches this year. It sure looks like he likes it, but he likes all his tight ends, all of them. And so he's never had a bounty. Got to be careful how you use that word.
Exactly.
He certainly has a bounty of riches at tight end. And oddly enough, the one guy that he doesn't seem to have great chemistry with is Gronkowski. But O.J. Howard, Cameron Brait, you know, they all caught touchdown passes.
Howard's now out, but you know that.
Yeah, but
maybe that means more Gronk.
Yeah, and then, you know, they played without, you know, Godwin last week. So, you know, Godwin will get back eventually and they'll get him involved. But, yeah, I mean, they still struggle to run the ball, but he's getting the ball out of his hands really quick right now. And that's a good thing playing the Bears, just being able to get the ball out. But he's not making the critical mistakes. You know, it was the type of game that you were expecting from Tom Brady that you thought could happen, but you knew it was probably going to take some time for it to happen. And so, you know, defensively, I think Tampa could play a lot better, although they played very well last week. And they are a complete defense. This Carlton Davis at corner,
yeah,
he's got two interceptions right now. Like, he will take the ball away. And I think Chicago's offense is going to have a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of trouble. Carlton Davis can line up with Allen Robinson and take him out of the game, or at least match up with him. I don't know where Nick Foles goes, you know, to get explosive plays or the ball down the field. You know, and the offensive line is average to below average. I don't know how you create enough offense right now against this Buck defense. I think the Bucs are looking pretty good.
Baldy, one team that's not having trouble getting offense seemingly at any down and distance is the Buffalo Bills. They're undefeated. They are scheduled to play at the undefeated, but at 3-0, Tennessee Titans. Obviously, the Titans dealing with COVID. As we're recording this, it remains to be seen whether this game is played on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or not at all. Two very physical teams, and I feel like the Bills, now that they've got they've got Edwards and Milano back playing, you know, practicing every day and playing a couple games, I think you could really start to see their defense tighten up against the Raiders as that game went on.
Well, I did that game last weekend. First of all, Allegiant Stadium is an amazing place. Sure. Just an amazing stadium. I mean, the whole thing, the visuals, the inside, it's going to be a fantastic place to go see games. But Josh Allen is just on an amazing – it's not even a tear. I think it's just who he is.
Yeah.
I mean, the first three drives, Jason, the ball barely hit the ground. The Raiders were helpless. They held him to – you know, they held him to 17 points.
Right.
In the first half. Josh Allen takes a wicked hit from Keyshawn Nixon, and he leaves the game. He comes back, puts a brace on his left shoulder, non-throwing shoulder, and has a great second half. They play just great football. They lose their starting corner, Levi Wallace, early in the game. In comes Josh Norman, who plays his first game. And in the fourth quarter, he punches the ball out of Darren Waller's hands, recovers it. And just complimentary football. You know, immediately, Brian Daboll goes straight to an explosive play. Max protection, takes a shot on the very next play to the wide receiver, and they go 50 yards in the air, and Stephon Diggs comes down with it in a contested ball, and they score four plays later and take control of the game. They force another fumble. They just play the game together. Okay. They have all the pieces to be a great team. But the interesting thing is, we mentioned this last year, there are a big 10 personnel offense, four wide receivers and one running back. And, you know, in order to do that, they activate six wide receivers, including the returner, Andre Roberts, who had a big return in the game. But Josh Allen threw it to all six receivers, all six of them. Gabe Davis, people don't know him, but he's a fourth-round pick out of Central Florida. Broke every record except for Brandon Marshall's at Central Florida, and got another touchdown pass on Sunday. This is maybe as good a receiving core as there is in football, and Josh Allen just can't be rattled. He can't be rattled, and he's with poise, touch, accuracy, anticipation, any adjective you want to use. The Bills are undefeated because of Josh Allen right now.
Well, Baldy, there aren't a ton of games on the schedule this week that have two winning teams going up against each other, but one that does is a game we alluded to a little bit earlier in the show, the Colts at the Browns, a team that runs the ball down people's throat against a team that you seemingly can't run it on right now. I feel like the Browns have sort of figured out who they are, Baldy, and I feel like they've bought in to what Kevin Stefanski has implemented. You see Odell playing with some joy and sort of a little bit unbridled, which is leaps and bounds away from how his body language looked in week one. They're getting people involved with trick plays. Miles Garrett is playing his backside off. I have questions about their linebackers there, and it's not a great defense. But I also still have questions about Phillip Rivers. So do you have a sense of this game? Do you lean a certain way?
Well, first of all, you realize and recognize how important coaching is, because this is the same Browns team as a year ago. And you look at them right now, they lead the league in turnover ratio. I mean, they were the bottom feeders a year ago. So they stopped all that nonsense, and they stopped the pre-snap penalties and all the stuff that used to just put them in a hole. And they just – and now they have an elite offensive line. I mean, the addition of Jack Conklin at right tackle, of Jedrick Wells at left tackle, the emergence of Wyatt Teller at right guard, a guy that, you know, was basically just a free agent. Anybody could have had him. I mean, he's just – and then you go with Joel Petonio and J.C. Treader. I mean, they're – and two tight ends that flat out can block. I mean, this Harrison Bryant, I thought he was a pass receiving kid out of Florida Atlantic. Like, he's blocking. It's a complete offense, And so – but they win the line of scrimmage, and that's who they are. And so they don't put their defense in a lot of bad positions, but you score 49 points and run it 40 times in a game. It just shows you how important – the running game, the play action. And Baker is just – and he's – it's right where he needs to be. I think he can still – the timing is coming back that he had his first year. I really like the Browns. I like the way they're playing. Miles Garrett is the best defensive end in football. And, like, there's – he's just – there's just nobody that can do what he can do. He's going to ruin you one-on-one. He's going to affect both the running game and the passing game. He's playing at about the highest level you could play. You know, Bruce Smith worked with him the whole offseason, and it shows. Like, he just knows when to take a game over right now. But
they've got such a great line in Indianapolis. You know what I mean? That's such a great matchup.
You go Sheldon Richardson, you know, up against Quentin Nelson and Olivier Vernon against, you know, Costanzo and across the board. I mean, that alone is worth some StubHub fare tickets, you know, if you could get, you know, tickets.
Yeah, if you could.
Like, I paid big StubHub price just to watch that, you know, that trench warfare right there. So I'm leaning towards the Browns in this game, although the Colts defense has been, as the stats back up what they're doing on the field, this should be great. This should be a great game, maybe one of the best games of the year so far.
And Baldy, week five concludes Monday night. The 1-3 Chargers at the 2-2 Saints. I'm calling this the Jekyll and Hyde Bowl because I can't get a handle on either of these teams. I mean, the Chargers could be 4-0. They could be 0-4. They play the first half last week, and you're like, my God, they're a complete football team that we just talked about what Tom Brady does in the second half. They're caught in this weird situation with Herbert and Tyrod Taylor because the potential for medical negligence being why Taylor lost his job and the NFLPA investigating that. So what are they doing at the court? I don't know, man. I can't figure them out. And I've had trouble figuring them out for years. And, you know, and the Saints, I think they've got things righted now. Certainly they had to get that game last week against the Lions. But that was a Jekyll and Hyde game. You know, the first 20 minutes of that game, you're like, they can't stop Matt Stafford. And then they end up blowing him out.
Well, Justin Herbert's thrown for almost 1,000 yards in these three starts, you know, and a minimum of mistakes, a couple interceptions, but he gives him a chance. He gives him a good chance. I mean, he's pretty fearless. He's a running threat. Obviously, losing the running back really hurts him. You're going to have a rookie running back and a rookie quarterback going up against a Saints defense that, to me, really hasn't showed up yet.
Yeah.
Really hasn't, you know, been – anything near what I think they've been advertised to be, especially with the constant acquisitions that they've been making on that side of the ball to go with the draft picks. So, I mean, it's time for the Saints to sort of make a statement right here on Monday night in front of everybody that they're not in some sort of malaise, that they're a much better team than what the record says, and so they got to show up. But one thing I know about Herbert is he plays the game without any fear. And that's a good thing to do, especially on the road. Anytime you got to go to New Orleans now, it's such an advantage of COVID. that there's just no fans here, because it's a hornet's nest, especially on Monday night, trying to operate and do anything where communication is involved. It really stresses you. So that's a huge equalizer. The Raiders, were able to take care of them. That wasn't at New Orleans, but I mean, but that was in a dome stadium. So I think the Herbert gives them a chance. I think he just flat out gives them a chance because they've got some really good receivers. They've got enough of a running game, especially with him involved, that they could give the Saints a game here for this week.
Shouldn't the Chargers defense be more consistent than it is? I know Ingram's on IR right now. I mean, I get it, but I just, and I know no Derwin James, I get it, but this just, they look like a team that, I mean, you look at what they did to the Chiefs, right? And they stayed within themselves and they suffocated those guys for basically the entire game, including overtime. And then you come out the next week and they literally can't get Tom Brady off the field. I just can't. I don't know what it is. Is it coaching? I don't know.
The Chargers, they have two young linebackers. Kent Murray's a rookie, and Kaiser White, who basically was a rookie last year, but he got hurt and was on IR. So when you watch them, I mean, they get lost a lot. And I just think that Sean Payton and Drew Brees are going to look at this linebacking core, and they're going to get them going the wrong direction all night long. And misdirection and play action and all these things that move you. Like, I think they're going to just completely take them apart in the middle of the field. Now, Casey Hayward's been an elite corner in this league, but he's not playing at that level right now. And so for whatever reason, and it would be a good time for Joey Bosa and that group, to really start earning the money, in a game like this. I mean, that's what you want to do. They've got a bunch of high draft picks still in the defensive front, and it'd be time to go out there and start earning some of that money right now.
Well, we will see. And again, as we record this, that game may be shifted to LA because of some hurricane threats coming into Louisiana and the Bayou area, and all the best to everybody there. They've been hit by so many storms already, and my goodness, I hope everybody is okay down there. But that has been Baldy's Breakdowns. We got you all set up for Week 5, and we'll be right back here to do it all again next Wednesday. As always, you can find Baldy on Twitter at BaldyNFL. You can find me on Twitter at JasonLockin4. You can find Baldy Breakdowns, as you guys know by now, wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, rate, review. We always appreciate the feedback, and we will chat again in the middle of next week, getting you all set for Week 6 and reviewing the week that was. Have a great week. Talk to you guys soon.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect.